What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Game Cast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everyone.
And this week we have a lot to talk about. Before we get into the main, I guess, subject of this week, I want to talk about a little bit of information that kind of came out in the get video game world. We kind of hit on that a little bit each week, and unless you're living under a rock, you know that Sony and Microsoft have finally released the prices for their consoles. As it stands, neither of them had any reason to be hiding their prices because they're freaking the same. Outside of, and I can see it more so on Sony's side because of what they were doing. The prices are their PS5, the basic system that comes with a disk drive, is $4.99. The digital edition, which doesn't have a disk drive, everything is digitally, like you would download your games and such, is $3.99. On the Xbox side, the Xbox Series S is $4.99, and the Xbox Series S, the smaller one, is $2.99. And the S has, the way we look at it is that the Series S has, it is a next-gen system, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of the X, hence the price point. Whereas Sony's digital edition is basically the exact same console, just missing a disk drive. I'm not getting digital, and we don't have to go into why that would be a bad idea right now to get digital, but it's there for people who want to play next gen games at a $100 cheaper. One of the things that, or I should say, the reason I'm siding with the Xbox Series X is because of how Microsoft is handling accessibility. For one, all of my peripherals for my Xbox One will be able to I'll be able to use with my Xbox Series X. What that means is I will have three controllers when I get the console without paying anything extra because I have two controllers on my Xbox One, which means my kids can still play.
That's important. The kids got to be able to play.
Exactly. Also, Microsoft has the Game Pass, which allows you to play over 100 titles, and all of their exclusive titles will be on the Game Pass. That also includes Xbox Live and the Game Pass for PC, where you can play their PC games. That's a pretty freaking awesome deal. I think what people miss with Sony, even though I think Sony had the better lineup, was that you have to pay $70 now for those games. It's not 60 anymore. Sony has already come out and said that all of their in-house titles will be $70. So, yes, and I, third party some third party developers have said that as well. That's probably going to be the new norm. I can see Microsoft doing it. The thing though with Microsoft is that they're going to be the villain and the good guy in this case because while their games might go up to $70, they still have the Game Pass. And since they're pushing that so much, yeah, that's bananas. And the fact that you also get EA's pass, their EA has their own like gaming library that you can pull as well. That's on there. But then also you're able to use the xCloud is coming with that this holiday, which means you'll be able to play your Xbox One games on your mobile phone, on your tablet, basically anywhere where you can get access to a cloud. And that's pretty awesome.
That's a lot of gaming.
A lot of gaming for less money. Also, Microsoft introduced a payment plan for all my poor folks out there. You remember Layaway? It's essentially that. It's you get the console, but you pay 35 and 25 a month, I believe. It's broken up into based on which console you get, but that also comes with Xbox Live and the Game Pass. And what's interesting about that is if you do the payment plan, the total amount of the console plus the Game Pass for 2 years is actually cheaper than buying it outright. I think it's $20 cheaper for the Xbox S, and I think like I'm sorry for the X, and I think like 30 something dollars cheaper for the S. So you actually come out
So
ahead.
wait, why would I ever do anything different then than the payment plan?
Personally, I don't want to take out a line of credit because you have to go through a bank to do so.
Oh, it's a credit.
Right. You have to set it up through Mark because Microsoft has a deal with a bank. I forget the name of it, but you set it up with them and then you pay kind of like you do with the phones. It's not a big deal in the sense that this is something that we do with the phones. The difference here is that I only had to work with, like, for instance, I have T-Mobile. If I get a new phone and I want to do payment plans, it goes on my T-Mobile bill. Aside from taking out like an extra side of credit, that's not something I really want to do. However, it is there. The fact of the matter is that people have an option to pay less or pay more or pay however they want to pay
But
to
I
get
got
these
bad
consoles.
credit.
That might not work with you,
Yeah, and I feel a
but
little bit hurt. I feel bruised. That hurts my chest because I got bad credit, and a payment plan would be best for people who ain't got all that kind of money up front. I don't got $499. So what I would like to do is have a payment plan, but they ain't gonna let me have one because I got bad credit.
And there's ways to and I want to say that there's ways to work that out with them. I haven't read all the fine print, so that's something that, you know, people would have to look into, but the option is there. Microsoft has been a lot about accessibility in terms of cross-play, in terms of you know, having your older games work on a newer systems and vice versa. The peripherals coming over, and then special peripherals for people who might be handicapped and stuff like that. They've always been about accessibility, at least this run. And so I'm liking that, and I also like the deal with the Game Pass. And also, what Sony did recently was they revealed a couple things that we didn't know about. A lot of slack, a lot of the complaints about Microsoft's console was that they didn't have exclusive titles. They didn't have big titles that's going to push the us to buy the console, right? Halo, one of their biggest games, Halo Infinite, got pushed to 2021. And so there was no holiday, huge holiday title. The thing is, what we found out about Sony was that a lot of their big titles are also coming to the PS4. There was a lot of smoke and mirrors there. The Miles Morales Spider-Man game, Horizon 2, the new Little Big Planet game, or you know, Sackboy game or whatever. All those games are coming to the PS4 as well as the PS5 on launch. The game that they showed, the exclusive Final Fantasy, I think it's 16. That game is coming to
Final
PC.
Fantasy 9 million, you mean?
Right. That game is coming to PC. And so what it's telling me is that Sony doesn't really have a huge lineup of games either. They have, and you know what I'm saying? The fact that I have a PS4 and I have an Xbox One, I can literally not upgrade and still get all the games coming out this year. How,
Accurate.
you know what I'm saying? However, I do want to upgrade because, you know, shiny new things. I'm excited. Everybody's excited. I kind of want to, I want the new system too. Even though I think their time is I think the older system still has life, which is evident by the fact that all these new games are coming to the older systems. But I do want it. So I think I'm siding with Xbox right now. It's a better deal. I think this year will be Xbox for me, and next year will be PlayStation, because then that's when those big games will be coming out. So
Definitely.
just wanted to talk about that briefly, because it's big news. Oh, I didn't say the dates. So the Xbox Series S is actually and X are actually coming out on November 10th. Pre-orders start on September 22nd, so next week.
That's Tuesday.
Yep. PlayStation, on the other hand, they just screwed everything up. that their system is actually coming out on the 12th, November 12th, so 2 days later. And there were two things that they did. One, they sent out these emails to everybody who has a PSN account and was saying, if you sign up, we will put you in like a lottery or sorts to see if we can set you up to pre-order your system before everybody else. Or at the very least make sure that your foot is in the door for pre-orders. And then we
So they
found
had
out.
pre-orders?
Right. The thing is, though, nobody got an email about it yesterday, at least not when they showed off the price and the release date. Right after that, we found out that, or you know, we were told that pre-orders would start tomorrow, and that they're letting everybody know so they can get their money ready and everything so they can pre-order. And then Walmart, Target, Best Buy, and a bunch of other stores were like, "We're doing it now, like right now." And it was chaotic. It was chaotic. And so people were like, you know, they were crashing the sites. I think GameStop was like blocking people from coming to the website because it was too many people. And then finally, I want to say last night, they sent out emails for certain people to be able to pre-order the system on, I believe Sony has a store, and but it was after the chaos already.
Yeah.
So Sony handled it really bad. I hope Microsoft took notes and they're not gonna do this sort of thing either. But yeah, it
Hopefully
was rough.
not.
There was a lot of information that was kind of like not conveyed in the video. Like, it would have been much easier just to say all this in their video or have someone come out and announce these things. We had to find out through articles and through tweets and all this other stuff. And so it was very chaotic.
Yeah.
I don't
I've never heard of a pre-order.
I've heard of something in that in the lines of where they feel like you're a long time customer, and so you might get, you get a heads up about it. But for the most part, yeah, it's just handled better. Like, it's this was just it was just bad. It was really bad. Free for all, thank God is COVID, because people have been trampling each other in the stores trying to get pre-orders, and there were still people in stores getting pre-orders. Like, a friend of mine actually went to a Target to get his pre-order.
Wow.
So,
I guess
yeah.
that's the only reason to go to Target for real, is to get your pre-order on a PlayStation, because there's no other reason. You can get
Right
everything.
now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's we wanted to, talk a little bit about it. Not a whole lot, because we have some other stuff to get to, some important news that I say important news, I feel like no one cares on the low. I do. I mentioned that on Twitter, and a few people were like, "No, we care. I'm like, you don't really, you don't care. You think you care, but you don't." I think there's a few people who care. There are. But for the most part, I think as there's so many more important things happening right now that, and the fact that I'm not a huge name in our industry, it's possible that a lot of people don't care. But it's okay, because it's important to me. So
Right,
we're
exactly.
gonna dive into that. So this episode was aside from like little bits here and there, this episode was mainly to talk about my transition from United Front Gaming. I will as of well actually as of earlier this week, I am no longer the editor in chief of United Front Gaming. So that means a couple of things. The first thing is that the website, we are not going to be updating it outside of reviews. We still have some reviews that we were given review codes for, so those are going to go up. But it's going to be like a living resume going forward. There'll be some things that go up, when we get a chance, in the sense of like, hey, I really like this game. I kind of want to write about it, and I have a place to write about it, or I want to review this because I'm interested in doing so. Other than that, it'll be kind of stagnant, because we'll be no longer operating, 100%. And this isn't a sh this shouldn't come to a shock to the people who are in the know, all the people who wrote for us, who were actively writing. They were aware of it. I announced this earlier this year that I was gonna make it, at least until the end of this year. Unfortunately, COVID hit, a whole bunch of life stuff hit, and I needed to step away. I needed to step away, and in doing so, the site kind of steps away with me, if you will. And so I'm sure for those few that do care, they want to know a little bit more about how I came to this
Decision.
conclusion, and just what has been going on behind the scenes, and what led to these things. With that said, I'm gonna, toss the ball to you, and we'll kind of go from there.
So yes, please give a little bit more light. How did you come to this decision, and what were the key factors that really led to you deciding to step away as the editor in chief of U of G?
I guess the long and short of it, we weren't able to turn a profit. The there were offers, there were offers. There were people that would, there was a casino, not casino. I think casino is the wrong word. It was a gambling
Gambling.
company that wanted to have us put like tags in our writing and stuff that would send people to their sites to gamble. And they offered money, like they were gonna pay us for it. And I was like, no, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to trick people to going to your site. It has nothing to do with the things that I'm talking about anyways. There was also offers for more adult related content that I also turned down because I didn't want, I just didn't want to be associated with certain things. And
Exactly.
however you feel about those subjects, that's neither here or there because they have nothing to do with me. But it's also the way that they were handling things. It sounded underhanded, even though that there was a possibility that we get paid a decent amount. It was underhanded, and I didn't want anything to kind of do with that. So yeah, stuff like that. There were also some video game advertisement offers that were here and there, but they weren't. I was trying to stay away from that because there's this misconception that because a lot of game sites have video game advertisements, that their reviews are paid for. I just want to let you know, seeing as how I've written for multiple websites, that is not the case. They have a marketing department that is separate from the journalistic side of things that handle that stuff. The journalists are never they're never privy to these things, so it doesn't affect their writing. But being a smaller site, we don't have a marketing side. It would just kind of it would go through me, and so I didn't want people to feel like, oh, you have game ads, then you're 'cause we have less grounds to defend ourselves in that. You know what I'm saying? And so what I was planning on doing was to do something that's adjacent, like maybe video game apparel, where you are working with a company that makes clothing or merch, but there's not a direct tie to any one particular company in terms of in video games. And so that way you don't have to worry about things getting muddy. So I had plans. And unfortunately, it was taking too long to turn the corner. And this has been going on for a while now. I think COVID really messed things up. If you don't know, like advertisers aren't paying as much because people aren't spending as much. And that's rough across the board. Like I talked about, an article that I was doing for EGM that kind of got canceled because they didn't have the money to pay the freelancers. And it turned out well in the end. I got picked up by somebody else, but the reality is there is that even really, really popular sites, there's less money coming in. And
Got
so
it.
you can imagine what it's like for the sites that aren't as popular.
Right.
And so with it not turning a profit means I couldn't hire more people. I couldn't pump out more content. I couldn't keep up with the bigger sites. And while our content was good, it wasn't enough to draw, like to keep people at our site. Enough to, it was kind of like this weird catch-22. We needed more content to pull more people in, but we needed more people to pull in to get a profit, to pay people to make more content. And it just wasn't working. And what happens is, being that we were down to a skeleton crew, we were doing everything. If you look on there, like nearly every news article for the past however like year and some change was all me. Reviews, editorials, et cetera, editing, all that stuff. And it's not to say or to take anything away from the people who were writing with us, like Andre being our reviews editor and Ricardo doing a bunch of editing and reviewing and stuff like that. It's not to take away from them, but the reality is, this was an everyday thing for me. I was, after homeschooling, it would be UFG all day. And
It has to do something to your quality of life.
because in the midst of that, I was doing UFG stuff, but I was also freelancing. So I was working a lot. And every year, I would say for the past maybe 5 years, I'll say. Every year around November time is when things really hit the fan because there's so many games dropping. These November is when the new consoles typically come out. We have a lot of stuff to cover, and I get burnt out. And each time I was like, you know what? Maybe I should stop. It's, but what happens is I will, I'm like, you know what? I didn't try one thing. I didn't try this one thing. Let me try this, next year and see where that goes. And maybe I can pull everything back out, like pull the site and make the site better. And for instance, the previous site that we had, great site, developed by my brother-in-law Ben Otero, dope site. But it kind of we kind of outgrew it, and so we needed a new site. And we got a great developer to come and work on the site for us, and we got a new site, and immediately the numbers went up. Like everybody, you know, people who were reading our stuff and kind of like shied away came back. New people checked us out. It was a good thing, and it was like, okay, we have these new eyes on us. Let's go double time. Like let's get as much out there as possible, and the reality is that was short-lived, because we just couldn't keep up. And so what I thought was, if we can't keep up, then we will try to be as unique as possible. Unfortunately, it's difficult to do that because there's always this, when someone comes to your site, and let's say you have a really cool editorial. It's great. They come, they read the story or whatever it is, and then they leave. The idea is to keep them there. So in order to do that, you have to have content that goes up in between those unique elements, those unique things. And that for us was news. And like I said, I can't keep up. We couldn't keep up with the IGNs, the EGMs, and Game Informer and all that. And so there would be this great, like, unique thing, and people will read it and bounce away, because it wasn't enough other content to kind of keep them there. It's kind of like you needed a buffer, like, read this stuff until the next big thing comes out. And that was, it just wasn't sustainable as is. It was, staying up to like 1 or 2 in the morning to get as much out there, and then feeling like nobody's gonna see it.
And that's
It's rough.
understandable. It sounds rough because it just seems it sounds as though you guys, you put your all into this. You did everything you could to accomplish a goal, and at some point you realized that you were like this was a slow downward spiral because you guys were all so dedicated into making this profitable and to work and to try to fulfill this vision. And so definitely I can see how it impacted your life and how it took so long for you to finally come to this decision if it's been on your mind for 5+ years or so, or not plus, but around 5 years, and then to be like, oh, every year, like, no, we can let's see, let's try something else. So I can definitely hear where you're coming from and how that decision was made, and it does sound like it was a harder decision, but you came to this point where you realize that maybe this is best for for everyone involved.
Yeah,
That's what it
I
sounds
think that, 'cause what happens is, it's interesting. I when I found out, or when I thought like this year would probably be the last year, I saw a interview that Joe Budden did, and I don't want to say too much about Joe because a lot of people are he's been in the news for like some crazy stuff recently, but this interview was tame, and people were asking like, why did he stop rapping? Why did he go the podcaster route? And outside of the other, like a lot of the stuff that he was talking about in terms of not having to prove himself and how things were tougher, there wasn't a lot of money in certain instances and things of that nature. He was saying that he has people to worry about. He has family that he has to take care of, and podcasting was able to do that. And he was like, at this point, continuing to rap would probably be selfish.
Got it.
And that's a similar thing that I came to, a similar conclusion, because yeah, I have ideas. Like I am constantly, and this isn't not like a you have like the friend who's always like, a get rich quick scheme or whatever, where they're like, we were trying to sell sneakers 1 year, but this year's t-shirts. Like, no, it wasn't like that. It was talking with people, people who've been where I am and who have succeeded, talking with people that work at major websites, everything from SEO tactics to ways of getting your face out there, even how you like create, the generate topics and generate feedback or, community support. And so I always have ideas, but it always ends up seemingly always ends up in where I am right now. It's, getting closer to November. I feel burnt out and it's not moving. The needle isn't moving anywhere. And I was like, in the back of my mind, I could be like, you know what? There's this other thing I didn't try. But then I think like, I have a family, I have a wife, I have kids, and the amount of time that I've put in, that time you can't get back. And you know what? I'll say this, even if I made like a ton of money, it would still be detrimental in terms of the time. The time isn't healthy. The time put in wasn't healthy. And while I could kind of like be like, you know what? At the very least, we were profitable. It would still be bad. So to imagine it not being profitable is like, wow, like
And your
that's
family's
rough.
growing. Your family
Right.
grew by one, your son's a year old, and so it does make sense. So interestingly enough, the next question I was going to ask you is, how does this decision impact your family life and your daily life? And clearly, the intention is to have it be a very positive impact.
Right. There is going to be, 'cause I can't not work. And
Of course.
so, and I don't mean that in a sense of I could very well not work and homeschool. My wife being a scientist, she's going to make more money than me, period. But,
Period.
just for me, like personally, I have to work. Like that's just, I have to. And so they're still doing the freelancing thing. I'm still writing for other websites and I actually, I jump back into illustration as well, and so I've been doing work for people as well and getting paid there. So I'm still doing those things, but the timing is different because I'm not doing that on top of U of G anymore. I have more time to spend. I have more time to relax, to kind of wind down after, whatever the case may be, and deal with things more readily, like be available, more readily available for life in a sense where it's like, I remember, hearing about the PlayStation and the Xbox getting the, Sony and them were telling the price and the release date and all this other stuff. And the fact that I didn't have to write anything was weird. Really, really weird. Like I could just kind of sit and kind of just listen, take it in, say something on Twitter and leave it. And then be able to be present for other things that is happening around the house or with the kids or whatever. And that was freaking cool. Like, really so. And it's not to say that I was absent or anything, but the amount of time it took from everything else was a lot.
It just almost sounds like, when you go to school for 180 days a year, and then the school year ends, and then you don't have to go the next day, and you realize how much time you have.
Right.
I think you kind of felt like that.
Right. And that's not to say like 'cause my and this is, we'll get into this a little bit more later, but my plans is to get a full-time job. I still want it to be Joanne's working to be optional. And it, 'cause she wanted to work, she got a master's, so you want to use it.
Definitely did.
But right now it's a wanting to do certain things that you can't because of work, it keeps coming up. And so a short-term slash long-term goal was to be profitable enough that I can be the sole person working if she wanted that to be the case. So I am looking for employment, like full-time employment in this field, but I'm just not doing it on top of U of G anymore. So like my time will eventually be cut down a little bit more, but it won't be as, crazy as it was earlier this year.
Exactly. And did you ever see when you first thought of starting UFG? When was that? When did you actually start UFG?
So, interesting enough, I started writing when we were in college. So, 2006, I started writing for a site, and I'm not going to mention the site because I'll say me and the owner didn't see eye to eye. So,
Okay.
I'm just gonna, yeah. And so,
Name with that.
I started writing for them, and we went to things. We had a bit of a falling out. And eventually, so like I want to say like a year later, they came back to me and was like, you know what? I still got the site, but I kind of need someone to run it, and I'll let you have full reign, reign over the site. So you can do whatever you want. You build your own team, and you just handle it your way. And so I built the team, but in doing so, I also built a LLC. So UFG was developed in 2007. Interesting enough. United Front Games, the developer, was also developed there, got their name the same year. And I actually spoke with them over the phone to and it was like, is this gonna be a problem? Like we don't do what you do, but we both use UFG. And they were cool about it. So cool that they ended up following me on Twitter, they followed me on Facebook. On the low, I was like, they're probably just checking to make sure we don't make games, but we would speak back and forth. Like it was cool. So anyways, we were working on the site and that kind of fell through because the person showed their true colors, so we backed off. However, we wanted to still write. We were enjoying it. We met up with a another group. They had a site called NX Gamers and they handled esports stuff. And they had a huge audience. They had deals with like Activision in terms of Call of Duty, where they would host these big events and they would have computers and everything as prizes. It was great. And but they didn't have a news side of things. They didn't have people who reviewed content or did things from a journalistic side. And so we kind of teamed up. It was UFG and NXG. And through that we were able to go to E3 again. We were able to do basically pick up where we left off. I want to say a year or so after a year or two after that, NX Gamers kind of closed because esports took a wild turn with the free-to-play games and stuff like that. And so from there, we developed our own website and kind of branched out. Now it took a while. It took a while because in terms of like I didn't have a lot of money and there wasn't a lot of. There was a lot of gumption, but not a lot of stuff there. I still had my contacts, like my press contacts that I developed and stuff like that, my relationships, but it wasn't a whole lot tangible to kind of work into a site. No one really knew who we was either, outside of me. When I give them my business card, it had NXG slash UFG, and it was confusing. So we switched all that. We changed everything around. We developed a site, and I want to say, what year was that? Was that 2000, 2012, 2011? I'm not sure what year it was, but we started our own site and things were going well enough. By that, I mean, we didn't have a huge amount of traffic, but we were respected enough because of our content that we got games that we probably shouldn't have gotten. So, like, for instance, I remember hitting up Rockstar Games. This was when Max Payne 3 was a week from releasing. I hit them up. I had been trying to contact them before, but I could just never get in touch with them. I don't know if the site wasn't to their standards yet. I don't know. But I finally got in touch with someone over there at PR, and I was like, can we, be added to your press list? We want to cover your games. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, after the conversation went so well, I was like, you know what, Mac, this might be late notice, but Max Payne 3 is coming out in like a week. Do you think we can get a review copy to review that game? And they sent it. They sent it. And then from there, like every game that Rockstar has released from that point, we've gotten for the past 7 years. I think we got every Call of Duty. We've gotten Destiny 2. We got multiple copies of like Fallout. 4 when that came out. We got Fallout 3, Fallout 4 for the PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. We got The Last Guardian, No Man's Sky, like all these big games that I didn't expect us to get. Same thing with Microsoft from Ori and the Will of the Wisps, or not, well, yeah, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and what is that game? Sunset Overdrive to, you know, just not, I'll say this, 90% of the games on our site came via review code. Some of them we bought, but 90% was sent to us to review. Nice. And as far as a small site goes, that's pretty huge.
That is. That's really huge. That's amazing.
To be like, you know, God's favor, or, you know, they just kind of liked us. We were kind of cool. I don't know. But I should say it probably was God's favor, because there's no reason why we should have gotten so many games.
Yeah.
And then we were invited to different press events. And all this other stuff, everything from, there's a Texas pinball convention we were given passes to go to. Ricardo covered that for the site 2 years in a row, where we got to go in and see, you know, different pioneers of pinball and play on the games or whatever, and basically write an article about it.
I'm jealous.
It was it was cool.
Pinball's amazing,
right? It was cool. And then we got, so I want to say the last 3 years, we got the new site. And, you know, like people, it exploded. Like people were just coming to our site because it just looked great. You know, shout out to Chris. He did an amazing job. And it was what I wanted in a site. So, yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. I've been writing for like 13 years, maybe.
Yeah, you have. You've been writing for a long time. I remember when you were really just kind of starting and getting stuff, because I remember you asking me on Facebook. We were talking about it. It's such a long time ago now.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You guys have been doing this for a long time.
Ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah. But it just sounds like it was such a great experience and such a good group of people. And you guys did something that you really enjoyed. And for you, I think that taking a creative project and turning it into a business is something that a lot of people don't get the chance to do. And you did that. And so how does that make you feel?
You know, there's no regret in that. I do think that there's a little bit of sadness, I guess, because it didn't pan out the way you wanted or the way we wanted. But I think that the experience that I got, like knowing how to interview, like I it was a crash course. I remember when I first went to E3, I was writing for another site, and we went to SNK's booth. And so SNK, they make King of Fighters, Metal Slug, and all these other cool games that I grew up on. And I remember being pushed in front of the camera, and the editor at the time was just like, "You're going to interview, or you're going to talk about these games." And I was like, I don't have a script. I don't have anything. I'm not prepared. And I just had to go. And so fast forward to now, and it's like, I remember writing for IGN. I did a review of the movie Terminal, that stars Simon Pegg and Margot Robbie. And the editor asked me, "Have you done interviews before?" And I pulled them from UFG. I was like, "Yeah, these are some interviews that I've done, blah, blah, blah." And he was like, "We want you to interview Margot Robbie."
And then you're like, wait, what?
Who? Right. Like, he's like, "Would you be interested?" I'm like, "Yes, I would definitely be interested." But it's like, I was able to do that because I had the experience, you know, crash course in doing this type of stuff, in doing it ourselves.
Yeah.
So everything from like reviews that I've written and interviews, features and whatnot, a lot of it I pull from other sites too, but I also pull from UFG because it shows what we've done for so long. And so in saying that, there's no regret because there's a lot of good that came out of making our own business.
Definitely.
Whereas like improving our skill set, like improving all of our skills, learning how to go about doing these things, because none of us took journalism in school.
Right.
Like, again, we had to just kind of learn it. Learning how to being forced to do things that are out of your comfort zone. Like for instance, it shouldn't come as a shock. I never wanted to join Twitter, but I knew that, it was explained to me that you need to get yourself out there, and Twitter is one way of doing it. And come to find out, it's very freaking important in this industry, to be sociable. And so even with podcasting, with streaming and all the other things that we're doing, it was because it's like, you know what? This idea isn't panning out. Let's pivot here. Let's pivot there. Let's try these different things. And what that does is it builds up a nice visual resume of the things that you can do, and it makes you more desirable. And then outside of that, I got a lot of games like that. It's because and it's not. It's a little contradictory because I remember a few podcasts ago, I was saying how it's not free games, that we work really, really hard to be able to get these games. Like, even when we get a game that we want, because you don't want to write up just anything. Like, you want it to be, at the very least, legible. You want to be credible. You want people to send you games again. So, you want to write well and be proud of what you're putting up. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. On the flip side, though, I got a lot of games.
You
Like,
did.
I remember getting review code for The Witcher 3. It was like one of my favorite games. And some sites didn't get review code for that game. You know what I mean? And so just knowing that we were one of them, like, and same thing with Fallout 4. When we got that, it was this under this veil of secrecy. Like, we weren't allowed to talk about it. We weren't allowed to talk about it on social media and show that we have the game. We had to take off all of our notifications and achievements off of our, like, have them private on our consoles because they didn't want to know. They didn't want us to show that we have the game. And so, as absurd as that sounded, it was actually kind of cool because we were trusted to do that. I remember reviewing Dishonored. Like, we got a code for Dishonored and Dishonored 2, and how one of the developers followed me on Twitter to talk about the game. Like, just a lot of access to things, and that kind of made you feel like your work mattered, like you were doing something that was important, or at the very least, people appreciated your work enough to send you whatever the case may be. Which is interesting because I was looking on Facebook today, and I had a, you know how Facebook does the reminders or memories or whatever, and 7 years ago, it's absurd, I posted a screenshot of, I was like, Rockstar sent this over to us, and it was GTA 5 with like a Rockstar t-shirt, like a bunch of pins and all this other cool stuff. And I was like, this is freaking awesome. Like, we are getting something that we didn't expect to get, that we didn't think we could get based on the numbers. But as it turns out, we were able to. The same thing with Red Dead Redemption 2. I got a review code for that. Not only did I get that, I got a huge care package of Rockstar stuff. And and hearing that, it sounds like we got swag or we got stuff to pay off the review, but it's not the case. It was one of those things where it was a care package because they appreciated all the work that we put in into covering their game. And
And on
so,
top of that, they needed to give you something for all that dead space that's in Red Dead Redemption, all the like riding around doing nothing. So that was they
yeah,
were buttering you up for that.
there was a lot of dead space. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, so it was cool to be able to get that. The same thing with Sony sending over The Last Guardian. I didn't expect that game to come out, let alone us get it. So yeah, so it's not, I don't think it was wasted time at all. I don't think that, I think we grew from it, we learned from it. We built up these relationships and are cool. Like, we're cool with everybody, that has written and has contributed, has shared, and just having something that's like that's black owned, and majority of the writers are black and brown people or people of color was pretty great.
And you guys are doing it. You're small, you're a small little operation, that was actually doing it for the blurred culture.
Right.
For the blurred culture. For just about, I mean, hardcore since 2007.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's a major accomplishment.
It's something. It's
it's a lot to be proud of. You guys did so much. And I think that not a moment was time wasted. You learned so many things. And just like you said, being forced to do things, especially because you guys were on your own, but being forced to learn how to interview on the fly and to be comfortable with that. So yeah. Job well done, if you ask me.
Thank you.
And the other six listeners that we have. Job well done.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say to the little ones out there who may want to start their own, website with gaming information? And I say little ones, like, yeah, some kids, but also some grown-ups who are probably like, hey, I want to do that too. What kind of advice would you give?
I would say, well, there's a couple of things. First would be, I think you need a blog or a site of your own to practice writing, especially if you haven't, because a lot of people have come to us and are like, you know, we write really well and blah, blah, blah. And when we see their writing, it's not good. And I think you need practice, because writing, especially for this type of field, is different than writing, just writing in general. Like, yeah. a great novelist would probably not be a great journalist. There's some skills that cross over, but it's not the same. And so I think you would need a blog or a site to write for just your own self, and see if this is something that you want to do in terms of dedication and time and all this other stuff. Because what happens is a lot of people want to write, or they want to get into this because they think free games. And what I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. And so you definitely want to practice in a space that's safe, that not a whole lot of, you can't get into any trouble for the most part. I mean, you might, if your blog gets big enough, you might start getting, code, and obviously you want to follow directions when it comes to, NDAs and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's safer. You also want to eventually branch out to other websites for freelancing. And what that does is, not only does it help you with contacts, it helps you with getting your foot in the door in terms of a bigger audience and making a name for yourself outside of your personal blog or personal site. It also helps in terms of access that you might not have. Getting bigger video games, getting more video games, getting interesting, getting feedback. Getting feedback from a good editor will help you out a lot. I'll also say that you should not write for free.
Right.
And let me say that, in personal stuff, yes. But writing for other people, you should not write for free. If they're making money off of you, you should be getting paid. And even if they can't make any money, it's on you whether or not you want to write for free. Because, like I said, we weren't profitable, so I can't really say much of whatever. But when there was opportunities to pay people, I did pay people. So you don't want to work for free. Like, the time that you spend doing this is important. You can't get that back. At the very least, you can be compensated for it. I wouldn't advise that. So, starting your own blog, practicing, getting out there, reading content that you think is good. Make sure not to plagiarize, obviously, but reading content that you think is good, because you kind of learn in that aspect. Like, I was told, you learn how to write well by reading good writing.
That's true.
Like, reading other people who write very well, like, you learn. Obviously, you want to, have some schooling, but if you can't do that, these are ways of doing it as well. And then also being okay with the idea that it's not going to come quick. Like any type of monetary gain, any type of footing, it's going to take work and effort, and it's not going to come quick. Now, there are people who do this who are on the YouTube side of things, who produce content, video content that blows up really quickly. That's not the same thing that I do. Granted,
Right.
there's nothing wrong with that, but being critical, and doing things from a journalistic side of things is a little different. If you want to do things where you're doing let's plays, or you're doing you're streaming, or even if you're doing esports like Ninja, that's a different lane, and there's different rules in that. I can't speak to that 100%, but I can speak to my lane.
And you
And
can speak to how, you shouldn't be playing esports and then calling out the N-word and getting
yeah,
into
if
trouble.
you're white, you don't do that.
Yeah.
No, that's a
You shouldn't,
no-no.
yeah.
Shouldn't
No.
do that. You
Shouldn't
should definitely go check out our episode called The N-Word. We speak on that. But
do
yeah, like
that.
you also want to you also don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
You want to branch out, learn skills that can help you. So like for instance, when people look to hire someone, they look for someone who can not only write well, who knows a little bit of SEO, and if you don't know what that is, you gotta look it up.
Yeah, because we're not telling you.
Yeah, it's we only have but so much time. Some SEO stuff. You need to know how to, hopefully you can edit, like pictures and screenshots. If you can do, if you've done any voice work in terms of, maybe a video review or just a podcast, something that shows that you can speak on a mic, you have presence. You know what I mean? Like these things are very beneficial. And another thing I would say is you don't have to go. There's multiple avenues within this bubble as well. For instance, I have done guides, where I would play a game and then, like, maybe the editor would be like, "We need to know how to find all the secret mushrooms in this particular video game." So then I would document how to find them all. And so when people go online, they're like, "Ah, oh, I have seven mushrooms. I need the eighth one. I don't know where it is." They can go to my article, and they'll find out where it is. Guide work is very, it's not a glory, like a, you're not gonna be, what's the word? You
No,
don't
you're
get.
not going to be glorified for it because clearly the game maker wants you to play the game and figure things out. But I glorify you guide people. Why? Because I like using guides to play games because I don't like surprises.
Right. Well, it's also the fact that it's like, because like a lot of coverage goes towards the reviews. Like if you reviewed like a Grand Theft Auto, that's a huge thing. And a lot of traffic goes to that. A lot of traffic goes to the guides too, but it's typically one of those things where we don't look at who wrote what. We just look at what the guide is. Like I just need to get my eighth mushroom and then be out. I don't need to know who wrote it. And so it's not as, you won't get praised, but you do get paid. And in some
Yes.
cases, you can get paid really well. And it's also coming from someone who's very critical on things. The fact that you can write and get paid and not be as critical, it kind of it works a different side of the brain, kind of, where I get relaxed. Even though I was playing for hours and hours and hours, and I was writing these guides, it was so different. It was much more easier than writing a review of, like, say, Red Dead Redemption 2. That took me a long time to write
Well, that's
versus.
because of the dead space.
Well, it was a long game, and but like in terms of making my points and why I liked and didn't like and what worked and didn't work and all that stuff, just writing a guide saying this is how you do this, this is how you fish in Red Dead, much is much easier, much less stressful, less stress there. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do. I learned like writing about games isn't the only thing. Like I've written film reviews, feature articles, and just all sorts of things. And so there's a lot of space. I would also tell you to follow people who you admire, follow people who do the things that you do, the things that you want to do, because they're the people that are going to be giving out advice. They're the people who are going to be, basically hitting you up for, or rather not hitting you up, but those are the people you will be hitting up for advice. Those are the people who, are kind of like blazing a trail that you can kind of follow, even. Those are the people that you kind of want to, kind of buddy up to. Not in a fake way, obviously. Like you want to, be genuine, But those are the people that you're gonna look towards when it gets to the point where you're like, you know what, I'm stuck. I've only have this many followers. I only have this many whatever. And they're the ones gonna be like, you know what, have you tried this? Because this is what I tried. You know what I mean? And then also you want to buddy up with them because you'll learn things that you shouldn't do because they speak on it. Like, for instance, with me being on Twitter and following a lot of these people, a lot of different editors I follow, and seeing them talk about like ethics and things that you shouldn't do or how you should handle certain things. They speak about these things publicly a lot.
Right.
And that's information that you can use on your blog, on your site, when you're dealing with other people. For instance, you're listening to me now and I'm telling you, like, don't work for free. That's a big deal. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's a lot. One of the people I follow, for instance, Associates Guides Editor on IGN, Janet Garcia, on Twitter, she's Game On Us, or Game, it's Game Onysus. I don't know if I said that right.
Game
but
On Us?
I think Wait, so.
I don't know. Actually, my dyslexia just hit really hard.
Right.
My brain got so confused, and I'm going to reject everything and pretend I didn't hear anything.
She's great. She has a blog called Game Industry Guides, and is basically she's telling you the ins and outs of the industry and how tough it can be, how rewarding it can be, and how it's not for the weak of heart. Because you're going to get it from everywhere. You're going to get it from, you know, commenters who don't believe you know what you're talking about. You're going to get you're going to get tired. You're going to have to work. Like, here's the thing that people don't know about. Even if you're working for a big site, Kotaku, IGN, whatever the case may be, a lot of your stuff is overtime, even though you're not paid for it. When you get a video game, you're rarely actually working in the office. You're in the office and you're writing articles and maybe writing about the news of the day and stuff like that, editing and all that good stuff. When you get home, you have that game that you have to review. You're still working.
Yeah.
And it looks different when you're playing a game that you like, because you're like, I'm just playing video games. But if it's a game you don't like you really don't want to play, you have an obligation to do that. That's you don't get paid for that time though.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into what we do, and I think that the sooner you kind of dispel the myths about what we do, the more likely you'll be able to see, like, yo, is this something I want to do? Like, is this something I got to, you know, I could stick it out for? Because it's rough, and payment across the board is usually horrible. Until you make it to, you know, you get to the editor, or, you know, you get a really dope staff, you know, staff job. Certain companies are better than others. But like all of writing, it can be really rough. And a lot of us aren't paid what we should be paid.
Right.
To be frank, especially if you're not white and you're not a male.
Yeah.
That's just the truth of it. So,
and that's another podcast episode.
It is. But those are that's what I would, you know, advise you to do. And to have people look over your writing, you know, like, have people that you trust, you know, get feedback from editors. There's this thing called imposter syndrome that rears its ugly head every so often. And, you know, having a good editor kind of like steer you away from certain things and to kind of help, you know, bounce off, you know, ideas off of, will kind of help dispel that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's actually really, really good advice for anybody looking in this area. Imposter syndrome is a real thing. And I think for anybody who is trying to come up here, that support network is extremely, it's make or break.
Yeah.
And people they sometimes don't trust, they know they're creative and they might be good at something, but then they don't see any progress. They don't see anything happening. They don't see any like small successes or really know what moves that needle. And they don't really, because this is new to them or something, they don't really know how success is measured except for maybe what they're seeing on YouTube you know, things that are kind of not, I don't want to say sensationalized, but things that are really, really big. So like, right. Just what you're saying, how there are different avenues or different lanes in this whole genre, but like seeing somebody like Ninja or seeing some of these really, really famous and rich people in this scene, they're like, oh, well, that's the only measure of success. And it's not, because there are so many writers and other content creators or owners of websites that are successful in their own right. And some young people or some people trying to get into this may not see that. They may not know that. So doing your research and then finding a tribe, finding people who are in the same, who are trying to do the same thing, and making sure that your circle, your network is strong, making sure that you can find people to rely on and find, you know, a positive, supportive network so that you set yourself up for success.
Right.
Like you said.
Make sure there are people you can trust as well, because there are some shady people out there. Just throwing that out. But that's everywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was really good information, and I'm glad that we could take this episode to talk about it. UFG has been a huge part of your life. I mean, still part of your life. It's still part of our lives. It's not going anywhere. It's still a living resume. And I think it was great to be able to share with our 5 listeners that we know we have people care. They do care. And so I'm glad that you were able to have that outlet to be able to share that. And that's why we love having this podcast. Right. Being able to do this every week or every other week or whenever we do it, because it's our show.
Exactly.
I have to throw that in there every week.
Yes. And it's cool. Like, you know, and I guess that kind of brings us to what happens here. And you know, because people were wondering why I didn't post like the Gamecast on, you know, UFG's website, and it was kind of like an adjacent thing, and that's because outside of anything, I don't want to say political, but the idea that I could kind of be more free, whereas UFG was family friendly, if you will. This is more, mm-hmm. more, you know, freeing.
Yeah.
And outside of that, though, it was also because I knew this was coming. And so yeah. I was like, you know what? If this does happen, then the Gamecast can be separate, even though it's right. It's currently being hosted on, you know, United Front Gaming YouTube page. It's still a separate entity in that we can take it anywhere we want. And so same thing with a couple of other things that we're doing as well. It's not tied in 100% to the site. And mm-hmm. because of that, it allows us freedom to do whatever. And that's yeah. kind of going back to what I was saying about putting all your eggs in one basket. You don't necessarily want to do that, because if something doesn't work out, you know, you kind of have to let everything go. In this case, yeah. we don't. So with that said, we will still be doing the Gamecast each week. We'll still mm-hmm. be talking about nerd stuff. From a Black perspective, we will still mm-hmm. be doing streaming on the site or on the YouTube page as of right now. Eventually, some things will change. We haven't worked out exactly what that is at the moment, but eventually this podcast will be in other places as well, mm-hmm. as well as the streaming, and it will be less. You won't see it under the, you know, UFG's umbrella as much. Because mm-hmm. Like I said, that's going to be the website now is going to be a living resume with a couple of articles going up here and there when we feel like writing and we don't have an outlet to do so, which is right. the awesome thing about having your own outlet.
yep.
So, yeah, as that being said, you're not going to see any new news articles. There's not going to be anything about the PlayStation 5. The last thing I wrote was was on September 4th. News-wise or news-related, that's going to be the last news post. There's not going to be any new editorials. There will be some reviews. Like I said, if I see a game that I like and I think it's cool and I want to write about it, I'll do so there, as well as the review code that we already have that we haven't finished yet, that will also go up. Other than that, It's what's on there is what's on there. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a great time and a great job well done, a great testament to your skills. And yeah.
I am appreciative of the time. I'm glad I got to able to kind of talk about it and kind of explain a little bit. I didn't go too deep, because of time.
Right.
But if you guys have questions for me, totally ask. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on IG. You can hit me up on you can leave a comment under here, and we'll kind of go from there. For the
Yeah.
people who care, we'll definitely talk. And it's not a bad thing. It's kind of an end of an era thing. And
Yeah.
I'm excited for the new stuff that's going to happen.
Exactly.
Shout out to all the websites that I'm working with at the moment. If you're hiring, let me know. Beyond that, though, I have to salute UFG and move on to other things.
Next chapter. Your book is still unwritten.
Oh man, it would be cool to write a book. It would take too freaking
Yeah.
long, but
Yeah, it's taken a long time for me too, and I think that I've started three different books and I'm still on like page zero of
oh
all of them.
goodness. You had to get on that.
Yeah, I get on that and then I get like imposter syndrome and then I go to work.
Yeah,
And
work
then
is always getting in the way.
it gets in the way. I really just wish we could all get paid to be at home. And I'm not, I mean, like, I know some people during Corona were actually getting paid to be at home, and I wasn't. And so I was really stressed this whole time before I actually went back to work because I didn't have any money and I thought I was going to get kicked out of my house.
It's
It
it you're
wasn't the best time to write for me.
right. But adversity helps in making content, so you could definitely write about it, at least very least blog or talk about it on your own platform.
This is true. This is very true, which is why each week we come with to you guys with all kinds of nonsense. We talk
Yes.
about anything here. We talk about everything. I want to write a whole movie script or not, I'm sorry, not movie script. I want a show about leasing, black people and leasing, not real estate, leasing apartments. Okay.
Yo, Netflix will pick it up though.
Yo, that's what I'm talking about.
They'll
So,
pick it up. But anywho,
anywho.
that is our show for tonight. Again, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for listening. Feel free to subscribe, share, hit that notification bell so you know when the next episode is coming up. Feel free to go back and listen to the older stuff. I will say though, we've gotten better each time. So if you go back to episode one, my bad.
Yeah, we saw me.
Beyond that, though, everything is everything, and thanks for joining us.
All right, you guys, it was great having you. We love you. Just remember to always be nice. Don't cough in people's faces. Wear your mask. Wash your hands and your butt. Be kind. Hashtag don't be a dick. Have a great night. Bye-bye.